We are glad that you are here this morning with us. It's good to see you guys. Man, worship was something, wasn't it? It's great when now I don't feel like I have all this pressure on my sermon because that was the sermon, right? So just remember, and then I'm just going to reiterate a bunch of stuff, and then you'll be like, got it, okay? All right, as people are coming back in, we're going to go ahead and open in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your grace and your mercies. We thank you for your love and your power and how you have called us and are drawing us to you. God, I thank you that you take opportunities to show us parts of ourselves and how much we need you. Thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your son to the cross for us to give us the opportunity to be with you. God, I pray that you would take what you've put in my heart and that I would do my best to articulate it today. I pray that the people out wherever my voice is going would have open hearts to receive it. God, we thank you and we love you in your name. Amen. So we're going to take a little bit of a pit stop on the Romans road trip. We'll be back to that. I just felt like when Pastor Paul gave me the opportunity to speak that, I don't know, the Lord just kind of put this on my heart. And we're going to be talking about fruit today. Now, however you feel about fruit, it doesn't really matter. The scripture talks about fruit. We're going to talk about fruit. And we're going to talk about how you get good fruit, okay? So, the scripture today is in Galatians 5. Now, I read out of the Amplified Version, so I had them put the Amplified Version up. So, if you're seeing it, you're going to see what I'm seeing. But Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek him and be responsive to his guidance. Then you will certainly not carry out the desires of the sinful nature or flesh nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God or his precepts. For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit. And the desire of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, the sinful nature and the Spirit, are in direct opposition to each other, continually in conflict. So that you, as believers, do not always do whatever good things you want to do. But if you are guided and led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now, the practices of the sinful nature are clearly evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, total irresponsibility and lack of self-control, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and appetites. If we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit, with personal integrity, godly character, moral courage, and our conduct empowered by the Holy Spirit. We must not become conceited, challenging or provoking one another, or envying one another. You can be seated. So the big idea, the big question for today is, where's your fruit from? It's a simple question. Where's your fruit coming from? Because we have two examples here. It will either come from the Spirit or it will come from flesh. Okay? And we've seen here in Scripture that these two are in conflict. They are in opposition. That means they do not coexist well. They cannot coexist well. So you will have one type of fruit or you will have a different type of fruit. Why is this important? Well, now I'm going to jump to John chapter 15. John 15, 1 through 5. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes so that it will bear more fruit, even richer and finer fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have given you, the teachings which I have discussed with you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit, producing evidence of your faith, unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, that is, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. This is significant. This is important. Because no matter what, you are producing fruit. No matter what. We can't help but produce something. We have one of two options, right? Now, I want to be very clear with this. This is not about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and trying harder. Okay? That's not what this is about, right? This isn't, if I just do it more and more and more, I'll be better. Look, here. Both flesh and spirit are at work in us. We choose which one's stronger. Okay? We choose that. Not the pastor for us. Not the books we're reading. We choose that. And that is our responsibility to choose. Okay? Now, the enemy and the flesh love to appeal to our performance-driven mentality. Right? Love it. They love the checklist. Right? They love all of that kind of thing because they say, look, well, I need to be more loving. I need to be more patient. I need to be more kind. I need to be more disciplined. I need to do it. I got to read more books about it. I've got to wake up even earlier. I got to set more alarms to do this. I got to be better and better and better and better. And look, that's anti-gospel. That flies in the face of what Scripture says because it tells us that you can never have love, joy, peace, patience, be disciplined outside of the Spirit. Because these fruit are from the Spirit. They are only coming from the Spirit. You want these fruit, you've got to connect with the Spirit. When we attempt to make our own fruit, we make flesh fruit, bad fruit. This is where striving comes in. This is where trying harder comes in. Understand this. When I try to make love, like I try to create it, I try to have that fruit, I can't. The flesh produces hate and indifference. Because I can't come up with it. I can't. That's not from me. That's not a flesh thing. Whenever I'm like, I need joy. I need joy. I got to work on joy. I got to work on joy. I got to work on joy. I got to do better. Despair happens. Same thing with peace. I get anxiety because I'm working so hard to have peace. And then I'm looking in the face of anxiety because that's what it's producing. Because I can't produce that. It's not possible. So we're called to do something. What is that? Abide. He says, remain in me. He doesn't say, try harder, get more self-help books, and wake up earlier and just get on it. Hustle harder. He says, abide in me. Remain in me. And he will remain and abide in us. Do you want to know what that looks like? Abide. And here's the thing, God's not too busy. He's not like, look, you can come up here later or sit down and leave me alone. Anytime we run to him, he's like, I got you. I love you. Right? This is abiding. This is what we're called to do. Go back. And just like that, we get distracted, don't we? We're like, that looks cool. Now listen, he didn't have to get up in the morning and train to come to me. He didn't have to read books on how to come to me. He didn't have to go, oh, I just really need to try harder. He just came to me. And me as the dad, I did the rest. Now look, God is so much better of a father than I ever will be. He's perfect. He doesn't harbor any ill feelings. He is love, and he loves us. So when we come to him, he holds us. And he says, this is where you're made to be. You're made to be close to my heart. You're made to be so grafted into the vine of who I am that only parts of me come out of you. That's the point. It's not struggling and straining to try to do more or do better. Look, and this is where God's grace and mercy is so insanely amazing. Because he allows us to see this before it's too late. Don't get God's grace and mercy twisted for weakness. Because he is not weak. He does not play games with sin. He detests it and he hates it. But he loves us and gives us enough mercy where he says, hey, I'm going to open your eyes to what's going on in your life so that you have an opportunity to come to me and we can fix it before it is too late. Because a time is coming when judgment will fall. His grace and his love and his mercy is enough that he says, hey, before that happens, I want to give you opportunities to look yourself in the mirror and check your soul. And this is what we do. We come to him. Now, if you've noticed in that scripture, it says that God is the vine dresser. And he takes away every branch that does not bear fruit, and then he repeatedly, mine says repeatedly, prunes it. Now, if I'm a tree and I'm getting pruned, that means something's getting cut off. It's probably not comfortable. Now, I'm glad we don't listen to trees all day, just kind of yelling all the time, right? But if there's a pruning process, that means there are things that are going to get cut off. And he says that this is what God's going to do, and it is a good thing. It is a good thing to prune off, what's it called? Like the little ones are called suckers, right? They're just extra little things that are just sucking life that needs to go to something else. We have to allow God to prune off some suckers. We have to allow God to prune off some fruit that might be getting a little bit rotten, right? And I love how the Amplified says it. It says so that it will bear more fruit, even richer and finer fruit. It'll get even better. So what does that look like? Well, if I know I need to love people better, I need to get connected with God so that his love can flow through me. Now, in the sanctification process, in becoming holy like he has called us to be, our fruit can get richer and better. Because at first, I'm probably not great at it. At first, the flesh and the spirit are fighting real hard. But the more and more and more that I allow the spirit to take over and the closer I'm getting to the spirit, the more I'm allowing it to flow through me. And God is pruning me and saying, hey, that love you have there, I'm going to make it richer. I'm going to make it finer. We're going to purify that. And it's going to start to take over your life even more and more and more. Now, we have a saying here. Well, hold on, let me jump back over here. When it comes to abiding and remaining, that's extremely significant. Why? Because life can only come through God. I cannot create life. It's not possible for us humans, right? It can only come from God. I cannot create the power of the Holy Spirit because I am not the Holy Spirit, okay? Apart from God, we can do nothing. Now, we can only create lifeless things. Our flesh can. We can only attempt to imitate life. Try our best and make a really one-off bad copy. Here's the thing. God is good. Right, cut right. God is good. He is good, the very essence of good. Right? Without him, I can't even create something good. It's not possible. I can't do this unless I'm connected to him. So by striving and trying harder and using my own strength, I am only creating things that can't even be good. My fruit can't be good. But the problem is I'm chasing fruit instead of looking where I'm connected to where it's coming from. And that's a problem because a lot of us, when the enemy comes in, we start to chase the byproduct instead of going to the source. Being fully connected and allowing the Holy Spirit to move through me is what I'm called to, and the byproduct is the fruit of the Spirit coming through my life. But what we have seen happen as performance-driven individuals in the church in America is the fruit defines you. That is not true, but we see that. So we're like, oh, I just need more of that fruit. If I just go have more of that fruit, that means I'm holier. And we've gotten it reversed. So I'm chasing better discipline. I'm chasing more love. I'm chasing inner peace, right? But God's saying, hey, that can only come from me. You can't use that to get to me. Because you're a backwards branch at that point. The branch doesn't grow from the fruit. It grows through the vine, through the branch, into the fruit. So we have to stop chasing fruit. We have to stop saying, look, that's my goal. I want that. And God's over here going, me. That's me. What you want is me. Come home. Come to me. And then all of that will flow through you. Will it be easy? No, because there's pruning. Right? It gets hard. It's rough. Now, we have this saying at church, and you will finish it. Simple obedience produces supernatural outcomes. Now, let me clarify that. It is not because of who we are. It is because of who we are obeying. Right? I don't produce supernatural outcomes. I line up with the Word of God and what he's telling me, and supernatural outcomes happen because I'm plugged into the right outlet. Okay? Now, the Lord reminded me of this when my wife and I go walking around a lot and we're pushing our kids. And God's like, hey, you know, I called you all to be children, not adults. And I'm like, children, not adults. Okay. I'm called to be a child. We're called to have childlike faith, not adult-like faith, not adult reasoning. And I'm just kind of going back and forth with it. And he's like, when you tell your kids that they're going to their grandparents' house, what happens? I'm like, they get excited, and they're like, let's leave right now, right? Like, woo, I'm going to get some toys. We're going to go show it to Grandma, Grandpa, and it's going to be amazing. He said, that's exactly right. Now, how do you react? And I said, well, I go, all right, do we have enough gas in the car? What am I going to need to load up? How long are we going to be there? What are we going to do when we get there? What is it going to look like? Like, what's the weather like? I need to know that. I need to know, is there traffic? How do I need to make it happen to get there? And he's like, that's adult reasoning. I've called you to have childlike faith. Understand, it is not my son's job to get us to his grandparents. It is the dad's job, the mom's job, the parents. I take care of those details. He rides along excited for what's coming. Childlike faith looks at God the exact same way. And he's like, if you said we're doing it, I know you're good for it, and I know that it's going to happen, and your saying is your doing. It is not a maybe, perhaps. God's speaking is done. Do not ever let the enemy tell you, hey, maybe not. God's speaking is done. Listen, the enemy doesn't know the future. So he can't tell you what might happen. All he can do is throw out possibilities in hopes to trip you up on your path. He doesn't know what's coming down the line in your life. He just knows that he wants to mess it up and not let it happen to you. So all the lies he's speaking to you, they have no power over you. And trust me, the closer you are to the Lord and to his heart, you will hear him differently. Because when my son is snuggled into me, I can whisper and he hears me. That's a big deal. And the Lord told me, he said, do not let the details overwhelm your obedience. And I'm going to say it again because like this knocked me upside the head. Do not let all the details overwhelm your obedience. Because if a good, good father, the very understanding and element of what is good in love is telling us something, we have zero reason to ever distrust that. Zero reason to ever disbelieve any of that. Why? Because we know dad's taking care of it. And the closer we get to dad, the better understanding we have of who we are in relationship to him. It's important. So, it's hard to hear when you're at a distance, though. So the further back you are, the harder it is to hear sometimes that still small voice. The closer you are to the noise, stepping away from the Lord, the harder it is for you to hear. And just like Judas did, we can run to God, which is fantastic, and that's what we're called to do. And then sometimes we kind of wander off. We're like, okay, great, right? And God knows this. God's not back here going, how dare you walk away? God's like, I get it, right? I get it. He calls us sheep for a reason. Sheep wander off. Sheep are like, oh, look, there's a patch of grass. Oh, another patch of grass, right? And then all of a sudden they're like 500 yards away and like, I don't know where I am right now, right? And the good shepherd's like, come on, let's go. And he grabs, pulls us back, right? Same with us. There's a reason that the Lord uses all these different analogies to show us our standing with him. Because these are significant things. These are important things. And if there is a moment where we feel like I'm at a distance and I don't hear well and I can barely feel like I'm hearing you, God closes that gap in a second. And sometimes we might feel like, I don't see him. Where is he? And then he taps us on the shoulder. And he's like, I'm right here. Because our perspective shifted. And now we're looking over here. And he's just like, just turn around. Turn around. I'm right here. I didn't wander. I didn't leave you. I've been here the entire time. And I'm calling you back every single time. So I say, thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, God, for your mercy to allow us to have moments where the Holy Spirit will come and reveal to us and say, hey, check your fruit. You want to know what it looks like? Well, let somebody bump into you and see what fruit falls out. Ask your spouse. Ask your kids. Hey, what kind of fruit have I been producing recently? But be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Because if they tell you the truth, it's not an attack on you. It is a litmus test to say, okay, I need to adjust and come back to God. Because if we believe the lie that it is all about what I can do and how hard I work, when we hear stuff like that, you will hear, you have failed and you are not working harder. And you as a person are a failure. No, you're not. Why? Because these good fruits come from the Holy Spirit. So when I am producing them, I can't even take credit for them because I am not making them. But whenever I am striving and struggling and trying to make my own and I'm producing flesh fruit, it's so much easier to get offended about my fruit. And God says, hey, listen, it's not your job to make the fruit. It's your job to bear the fruit. Abide in me. I will abide in you. The Father will prune off what he needs to continuously, repeatedly, because that is the process of sanctification. But understand, it's his fruit anyway, to do with what he wants. And it's our job to say, here's the fruit. Do what you want to with it. Because he will call fruit forth in its own time and season. This is not also a time for you to look over at somebody else and be like, well, they got a lot of fruit and I don't have as much fruit as them, so they must be holier than me. No. Like, if that was the case, we wouldn't have apple orchards. We would have cut down every tree except the one tree that grew the best apples. There are other trees around there, and sometimes some of them produce apples a little bit later than other ones. Some of them produce them a little bit earlier, and guess what? They're delicious apples. I'm still going to eat them in a pie, okay? Like, I don't hate on the other trees because I know that they are producing fruit in their time. And God is calling us to produce fruit in our time. In our time. There are people that are going to bump into you. I'll have the band come up. There are people that are going to bump into you that need certain fruit of the Holy Spirit to hit them so they can experience it. So it is our responsibility, our job, to stay as close to the heart of the Father as possible. The closer you are to the heart of the Father, the more fruit you're going to bear, his fruit you're going to bear, then all of a sudden you're so wrapped up in him that people start to confuse you for him. And that's the ultimate goal, right? Isn't that it? It's not to say, people, look at me, look how good I'm doing, check out my fruit, it's pretty great. It's to say, look, I didn't even make this fruit, that's him. You want to know how to get fruit like this? Hook up to him. Right, he says that he will graft you into the vine. He will make you a part of it. Right, he sent his son to die for you, take our sins, bore them on the cross so that you can attach to his vine. That's how much he loves you. So today, and I feel like it's been reiterated because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, this is his. And from worship until now, I feel like today is heavy for us to look in the mirror, have the Holy Spirit search our hearts, search our branches, and say, what fruit do I have? Is it mine? Or is it the Holy Spirit's? So the band's going to play. We're going to go back into one of the songs in a minute, whenever the Holy Spirit feels like it's going to happen. And I want to open it up, and I'm going to say, here, now's the time for you to run to the Father. Okay? Now's the time to go give Dad that big hug. This is not a time, and I will tell you, this will happen. The enemy is going to come in right now and say, hey, you don't need to do that. You're not worthy to do that. Do you know how bad you are? You know how much bad fruit you produced this week? He doesn't want you. And that's a lie. That's an absolute 100% lie. The Father has only ever always wanted you. There has never been a moment where he's like, I don't want you. He has always wanted you. And he's not going to stop wanting you. Because he made you. He created you. And he's calling the life that he put in you out of you. So we're going to go into a song. And however you need to do this, sit with Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit do what he's going to do. And we're just going to be here enjoying our Father.
When I was growing up, I performed like you would not even know. In school, I was the class clown. football games, basketball games, baseball, it didn't matter. I was going to be the loudest voice out there. And I praised everything I did the best I could because it came from my heart. When I came to know the Lord in 1987, I failed because I didn't stand still. I began to do the same thing again. I began to just step out. In Romans chapter 10, there are three verses. And it says, Paul said to the church at Rome, he said, my heart's desire is that all of Israel will be saved. For I bear them record. They have a zeal. I had a zeal for God, but not according to his righteousness. I didn't submit to his righteousness. And I went about to establish my own righteousness. And I walked through 36 years of that foolishness. In church, out of church, in church. It's a roller coaster. And I'm telling you, brother, what you said this morning, I couldn't do nothing but just praise God because that's what he was telling me. These are not tears of hurt and pain. These are tears of joy. I'm ready to burst. God is good. And he loved me in the places I could not be loved. And if you are struggling to get out yourself, tell yourself to sit down. It's the best thing you could ever say to you. That would be expert advice, but it won't be coming from the flesh. I thank you, brother.
See, even in the midst of all of this, this is why we can sing it as well. Because when I know I'm not in control and he is, it is well. And when my soul is so entwined with his, it is well. No matter the storms that are going on, no matter all the details, it is well. My soul, because of his soul, because of who he is. Y'all are loved so much. Never, never, ever, ever doubt that. The God of the universe went so far for you to give you an opportunity to be with him. Be back where you belong, to be where you were made to be. Look, and this week, as you're checking your fruit, know this, you were not made to make bad fruit. You were not made to be anybody else than a fully loved child of God, connected with him. This week, choose what fruit you're going after. Don't chase the fruit. Look for the vine. Ask God, say, God, fill me with whatever you need to fill me with so that I can produce the fruit that the people that I'm going to interact with this week need to see. And thank God every day for the people that allowed God to bear fruit in their lives that we needed to see. God, we thank you that you love us enough to prune us, that you love us enough not to leave us where we are or where we were, You love us enough that you grab us and you hold us. And when we are close to your heart, you whisper into our ear everything that we are to you. Thank you that we always have a place in your arms. We always have a place at your feet, God. Thank you for your grace that calls us back there every day. Be with us this week, Lord. Help us to allow the fruit that you want us to bear to be bore. Help us to notice what kind of fruit falls down when we get bumped or a storm comes. And thank you that you clean us up and that we are not stuck bearing the same bad fruit, that we can bear Holy Spirit fruit. God, we love you and we thank you for this. In your name, amen.